Good morning. The reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 to 33, and you'll find that on page 1135 in the Brown Pew Bible. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. May God add his blessing to this reading.
Okay, if you could take out your sermon outline for today, it's this green sheet, 8.5 by 11, folded in half. How to be a good sport. Those of you who've been around since I've been here, I started almost 6 years ago, you may recall, maybe in your vague memory, that I had a message like this in my first or second year, and you'd be absolutely correct. I'm pretty sure I shared something like this my first or second year, but I don't expect anyone to actually remember. I think because our church family, the life of our church family, does involve quite a bit to do with sports. We have a basketball program, and many of us are interested or involved in some way with sports, that it's a helpful reminder, at least every several years, to talk a little bit about sports and our Christian faith. So hopefully you have something to write with to fill in the blanks as we go along. Okay, we'll talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of how to be a good sport. Let's pray. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father God, we thank you for the time of worship, just the helpful way to refocus our lives from a busy week of work and school, relationships. And Father, we just thank you that we can come back and gather as brothers and sisters in Christ and to be able to just express our appreciation for all of your goodness and your grace. And thank you that in our nation, we enjoy many blessings. We have many hobbies and interests, and certainly sports plays a big part of our culture and our national pastimes. And Father, I pray that you'll just help us, though, as your people, to be able to focus on biblical principles, principles of how we are to behave and our attitudes and how we treat people and how that affects every area of life, certainly in our relationship to sports. And so, Father, we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I realize at the offset that not everybody here today is necessarily personally interested in sports. And I don't mean to make it sound like, well, if you're not interested in sports at all, that maybe something's wrong with you, because nothing is wrong with you at all if you have no interest in sports. And that's fine, because it's just a hobby, it's an interest that many of us share, but in different parts of the world, they have totally different kinds of sports that they're interested in. Or in some cases, they're not interested in sports at all, and that's fine. There's nothing intrinsically good about being involved or interested in sports. However, since, as I mentioned, sports is a big part of our society, of our culture, of our daily interactions with people even, I think it's important as Christians to try to review and try to be reminded, and most importantly, to put into practice biblical principles that relate to the whole area of sports. And so, first of all, we're looking at some good things that can be involved with sports. First of all, capital A, sports can be an effective tool for evangelism or outreach, okay, for evangelism or outreach, and that is sharing our faith with others. And certainly in the case of this church with our basketball program, that I keep asking some individuals who've been with it for a long time, you know, how old is the basketball program really? And I think you guys can remember, some of you who've been with it from the beginning, it's about at least 30 years, right? It's 25, 30 years? Long time, okay, long time. And if I ask for a show of hands here, how many folks started coming to this church through the basketball program, I think some of us would be surprised. And it's not just a number of individuals who are attending, but who are actively leaders and involved in different ministries of the church. And so clearly, the basketball program here, it has been over the decades and continues to be an opportunity for us to reach out into the community. Folks who never went to church anywhere else, folks who maybe had little or no exposure at all to the Christian faith, came to faith and came to worship our living God through the basketball program, through a sports outreach. And the passage that was read earlier from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 22 and following, is the Apostle Paul is basically saying, now if you just take it out of context and just take a phrase and say, I have become all things to all men. You know, just for like, that sounds like a great sales slogan for salespeople. You know, you want to sort of kiss up and be nice to everybody, relate to everybody, but for what purpose? To make a sale, right? I mean, that, you know, that's the mindset of being an effective salesperson. But as believers, as Christians, as the, you know, the Apostle Paul is saying, I want to be all things to all men. I want to be able to relate to all people and all interests. For what purpose? So that by all possible means, I might save some. Now, again, we have to understand what he's saying here. Obviously, the Apostle Paul doesn't save anybody. None of us can save anybody. God is the one who saves people. However, God chooses to use us as his children as human instruments. That's why our church mission statement, to better experience and share God's love. It begins with our vertical relationship with God, between us and God. We need to experience his love in our own life, in our own relationship with him, and then to begin to share that love with others, so that others may be drawn into a love relationship with the living God. Okay, so that's the way we need to look at sports too. Every area of our life, not just sports, not just, you know, coming to church and not just church ministries, but every aspect of my being, 24/7, every opportunity that I have, as I've been talking about the last several weeks in the series about reaching out and touching someone, is that it's a life. It's not just something I do on Sundays or when there's a special event. Now, we had that big special event a couple of Saturdays ago, the annual Fall Festival. That gave us a wonderful opportunity to reach out and share God's love with hundreds of people from the community. Wonderful opportunity. Same thing with the Jung weekend. But the thing is, what about all the time in between? It's not just, you know, those two special days a year we're going to be concerned about outreach. It's 365. It's 24/7. Every aspect of my being. And even through my hobbies. Like, I'm interested in sports. Okay, how does that relate to possibly sharing my faith? Well, there are a lot of different ways. Some of you know that in my 35 years of ministry, there was a segment of my time in ministry where I was involved in a Christian organization called Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers was this national men's ministry, reaching out to men, especially men who would never set foot in a church, you know, for whatever reason. And they had these big stadium events, and then they would have Christian speakers, Christian worship, and thousands of men were reached with the gospel. They came to faith in Jesus Christ through that kind of a sports medium sort of approach. Why? Because the founder of Promise Keepers, Coach Bill McCartney, he was formerly the head football coach of the Colorado football team. He'd won a national championship, and he was a very committed Christian. And so many of the men that gathered around and helped form that big Christian organization, this is back in the 90s, I believe, in the 90s. How many of you, by any chance, ever attended a Promise Keeper event? I'm talking to the men here. Okay, maybe a handful of us. They had several major events at the Oakland Coliseum down in Fresno. Not sure about here in Sacramento. I think they had some smaller events here in Sacramento. But the thing is, during my time with them, as I'm reaching out to other men, the large majority of men have some interest or some knowledge about sports. And when you're just making general conversation, you're getting to know somebody, you know, sometimes you talk about, hey, so what do you do for a living, whatever, but what are your hobbies? And so when men have an interest in sports, that was one way to sort of begin to build some bridges. Now, I'll talk a little later about how we have to be careful with that, because sometimes getting overly attached to particular teams and getting a little, you know, emotionally frenzied about, you know, your allegiance to certain teams can actually become a hindrance at times. And that's why sometimes when you hear me, even at the Fall Festival, during the live entertainment part when I was making some announcements, I did tell one little joke because there was sort of this dead time, and so I told a joke making fun of Lakers fans, did I pick on the Dodgers? The Dodgers fans, excuse me. I can't remember. Yeah, I've done it so many times, I can't remember. No, but I try to have these disclaimers, and I know some would say it doesn't necessarily, you know, always work, but at least I'm trying to show some sensitivity to the fact that not every single person there necessarily is going to find that funny, because some of them are Dodgers fans. As a matter of fact, I won't name names. We have certain people in our congregation who are regular attenders here, who maybe are transplants from Southern California or whatever, But they're Lakers fans. They're Lakers fans, they're Dodgers fans. And so I try not to offend them unnecessarily or something like a joke. You know, just because 98% of the people are going to laugh doesn't mean it's okay to offend 2% that happen to be with the wrong team. I mean, that's the wrong thinking. You know, it's just, you say, well, yeah, aren't we trying to convert them? Well, okay, but that has nothing to do with their sports allegiance, all right? We're talking about our faith relationship with the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. And everything else that we're involved with, like the Apostle Paul is saying, by all possible means, I'm going to do everything I can to help people get closer to God rather than repelling them from our living God. And so we do have to be careful about our allegiance to certain teams and getting all hyped up about certain sports events. You know, right now, of course, our San Francisco Giants are in the World Series. And I'll talk a little bit about that. But I mentioned last Sunday that in order to get there, there was a very dramatic Game 5 a couple of Thursdays ago. Some of you may recall. Some of you had to miss that game. You voluntarily, even though you desperately wanted to watch the game, you voluntarily missed the game because there was a need for some folks to help out in preparing for the fall festival. So Thursday evening, there was a gathering at SASF, their facility, to help cut up, chop up things, okay? And I'll talk a little bit about that because you say, well, you know, what did I do? My office hours were at 7 p.m. So I admit, I'm in my church office, got a radio, okay, I'm listening to Game 5 of that championship series against St. Louis. And then at 7 o'clock, my plan was, I'm going to leave the office hours on my way home. I live in Elk Grove. I will stop by SASF, and I will see if they need any help. I brought a cutting board and a knife, as instructed. We'll talk a little bit about that. So all possible means, okay? And some of you remember what happened later in that game. Maybe you read about it, heard about it later, whatever. It had a very dramatic ending at the bottom of the ninth. Tie score. Travis Ishikawa, who is not a superstar player. He's not even considered a star player. He's not even considered really a regular starter. He's in left field because Mike Morris has a slight injury. He couldn't play the outfield. Anyway, he's up at bat, two guys on. Hits a walk-off three-run home run to win the game, to win the series, to propel the Giants into their third World Series in 5 years. Okay, so, you know, afterwards, and as I mentioned this last Sunday, to me that was obviously very exciting. But to hear his post-game interview, wow, you know, how many of you heard him remember when he said, I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How many of you heard that? Okay, a number of us, right? Okay, now as excited as those of us who are Giants fans, and those of us who have any interest at all in baseball, whatever, you know, like, whoa, wow, that was exciting, walk-off home run. But as a Christian, I mean, quite frankly, I was more excited about that he would say something like that he would even have the kind of focus, the kind of devotion in his relationship to God, that in such an exciting moment, perhaps in his entire life as far as his career, that will be by far the shining moment of his entire life, and yet he still had the presence of mind to say something like that. I thank and praise my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's more important. That will have more power and impact than anything he ever does on the field. As exciting as it was in terms of a sports context for the San Francisco Giants, what he said then was incredible. But the opportunity of saying things, doing things, having certain attitudes, the way we treat people, these are all opportunities that sort of undergird our outreach and our testimony for Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Capital B, something else can be good, is that sports can be a helpful means of spending time with people, certainly. If you've been here, I've been here almost 6 years now as a pastor, and I know some of you are thinking, wow, it's been almost 6 years already. Time flies, especially those of us who are getting up in our years. Time just goes by so quickly. This coming December, it'll be 6 years that I've been here. But you know that I have an interest in sports, and I also have this interest in finding deals, you know, finding bargains. And so I try to combine the two, and we've had all kinds of sort of like fellowships, social outings, whatever, to Kings games, to Rivercats games, and to a few Oakland A's games. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, how come we don't do things with the San Francisco Giants game? It's because they hardly have any deals. They're so good, they don't need to give you deals on their tickets, okay? Same thing with the 49ers or whatever, you know. So we get Kings tickets. And by the way, some of you have been asking, you know, are we going to have any special game opportunities, special ticket deals for the Kings seasons. And I explain to people, the paradox, if you're a Kings fan, is that if they start off the season and they lose the first 10 games in a row, I can almost guarantee you we'll have some very special deals on tickets early on, okay? But if they start off the season really well and win the first 10 games, I also guarantee you we will have no special deals whatsoever. So the paradox as a Kings fan is, do you want to see them lose 10 games to get a cheap ticket? Or do you want to see them win a lot of games and just, you know, pay full price for it? Well, that's the paradox. But certainly it's an opportunity of spending time with people. And if you've had those opportunities, you know, taking advantage of some of those opportunities, you know, the Kings games, Rivercats games, and some of us, even the Oakland A's games, they've been great times of fellowship and just sharing time together. And some of them will be lasting memories. Especially those of you who participated in sports, whether they be formal sports programs in school, or even just informal pickup games, you know, with different guys. I was at a church in Oakland in the 80s, Chinese Independent Baptist Church. I was much younger back then, in the 80s. I used to still play tackle football with the guys. And there's one young man in particular, he was a high school student. One time they had this tradition of playing on Thanksgiving Day, they would play tackle football. Okay, and so it'd be the older guys against the younger guys. And it was a great game. And back then, when I was, again, in much better shape, I had a kickoff return where I went for a touchdown, went the whole length of the field for a touchdown, and this one young guy, this teenage guy, who was pretty good himself, he had two shots at tackling me. One, because he's very fast, very quick, he came down and hit me, and fortunately, I was able to shrug him off, keep running around, right, and this guy, out of the corner of my eye, I see him flying down. He got up and came flying up and had another shot at tackling me on the 10-yard line. Again, was able to shrug him off. Now, that's a lasting memory I have of this guy until a year or two later when our church played another church in San Francisco on a Thanksgiving Day, tackle football. And I was a quarterback, and he was a wide receiver, and he went way down deep on two different times through long touchdown passes to this guy. And these are lasting memories that him and I still joke about to this day. And as a matter of fact, some of you have met this guy. His name is Greg Yee. He was the church consultant who helped this church before I came in here as the pastor. That's Greg Yee. He's in ministry. Okay? But we still laugh about those little memories when he was a high school student because we were playing in the sports, in the football thing, whatever, and they were just fun times. One time we were opposing players. One time we were on the same team. But the thing is, the most important thing in sports, it's not whether you win or lose, it's the relationships. It's the relationships. It's how God works in different ways through the activity. Learning things, growing together, being a witness for Christ. You know, all of these things are so important. They can be the good things that we see in sports. So capital C, sports can help develop Christ-like character. That's the blank to fill in for capital C. It can help us develop Christ-like character. And Romans chapter 8, verse 29 just says, you know, if you ever wonder, well, what was God's whole big plan or purpose for us even becoming Christians? And that's a very interesting verse because it says, you know, God foreknew, he also predestined for what? To be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So you want to think about what's a big plan God has for why we become Christians. Well, one of the big plans he has for us is that we might become more and more like Jesus in the Christian life. So that should be my goal, my focus 24/7 is also, besides being a witness and a testimony for Christ, it's to understand that God is building character in me, in each of us who has a personal faith in Jesus Christ. Through everything that happens in our lives, everything, there's an opportunity to grow in our character, to become more and more like Jesus. Now this is so important because there are some well-meaning Christians who unfortunately, they miss focus on what the Christian life is all about. It's not all about just doing religious stuff. You know, coming to church is important, reading your Bible is important, prayer is important, you know, giving, all these things are important, serving things. But if we're not becoming more like Christ in our character, we're missing the whole point. And unfortunately, there are well-meaning Christians like this in every church. You know, they've been there all their lives. They're doing all kinds of stuff. They're busy, whatever. But in terms of their character, to become more and more like Jesus, not too sure. And who's going to know that, really? I mean, we're all really nice people when we come here to church on Sunday. I would think. I think most of us are pretty nice. You know, we come to smile and everything's great. And we're very kind and considerate to one another, open the doors for people because we're in church. What are we like Monday through Friday? And that's why I talk about real life stuff. And I know some people get tired of hearing me talk about, you know, my struggles with driving, but I'm just trying to be honest and open and transparent with you. That's one of my common struggles. And how often do I drive? Almost every day of my life. And that's when, you know, sometimes it's just me and God. And it's not necessarily that I'm swearing or yelling something or shaking my fist at something. It's what's going on in my heart. Because as God has helped me to mature over the years, maybe I'm a little more patient, have a little more self-control externally. And so I don't look like I'm, you know, in road rage or whatever, but what's really going on in my mind and my heart? Because in terms of character, it's not just character in front of other people. It's character before God. And ultimately, that's the only thing that's going to really matter anyway. You know, it doesn't matter what other people think. We can fool everybody. But what's going on inside? You know, my heart, my life, my mind, my attitudes, my values, all these things that people don't see. And again, we're not talking about changing overnight, folks. So, I mean, you know, if you're looking at yourself thinking, boy, I've been a Christian for 6 months, and boy, I haven't seen a huge change in my life yet. Well, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're talking about over time. You know, for years, decades, with the people who are closest to me, can they honestly say, you know, Lewis, you know, you still got a long way to go in terms of being really patient, in terms of being really loving and gracious like Jesus. But on the other hand, thank God, you're making an improvement. You're a whole lot better than you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly 20, 30 years ago. And that's the goal here, is Christ-likeness. And sports certainly gives us many, many opportunities of learning Christ-like character, right? I mean, patience, self-control, discipline, humility. Humility, because you want to learn to be a good loser. You know, people were talking about being a good loser. How about being a good winner? Have you ever seen people in professional sports or even college sports where they win and their behavior and their attitudes afterward, you kind of look at it and go, that may be my team, but wow, I don't know. Their arrogance, you know, like sort of flaunting it or mocking the other players or doing stuff like that, even though they won the game or the championship. Some of you are probably thinking, yeah, remember that time? Yeah, he was like, and then you got to stop thinking, as a Christian, you know, what am I most concerned about? I'm sorry, but as much as I'm a sports fan of the Northern California, and by the way, you know, you think, what are my favorite teams? Just any team that's Northern California. Just remember, okay? So professional college sports, anything in Northern California, especially if they're playing a Southern California team, okay? So that's just my allegiance, basically. And I'm sorry, I know some of you are diehard Giants fans, you don't like the A's. Some of you are diehard 49er fans, you don't like the Raiders, whatever. It's like, hey, yeah, come on. You know, I'm Northern California, all right? So, you know, in terms of character, what's happening? And that's why it makes me glad when I see, you know, the large majority of the athletes from our Northern California teams, their attitudes are pretty good, even after they win or lose, whatever, and they're being interviewed. You know, they say, except once in a while, you know, somebody kind of loses it, and sometimes they have to make an apology. Some of you remember after game two of the World Series, Wednesday in Kansas City, when you know, the Giants lost to the Royals, and they lost kind of badly. One of the Giants relief pitchers, young guy, Strickland, I think that's his name. Okay, he had a pretty bad day, and he kind of lost his temper as he was leaving the mound, and almost got into a verbal sort of challenging match with some of the Royals players. But you know, the encouraging thing, even though he messed up, he apologized later. And he took responsibility and said, you know, he lost his control, he had a bad day, whatever, and I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but it just, in terms of character, that means a lot. It's not a matter of being perfect, because nobody's perfect. But what do we do when we make mistakes? Do we own up to it? Do we make apologies? Do we try to make things right? And that's all part of Christian character. And so, you know, when we're participating in sports, that's why I appreciate the fact that our basketball program here, you know, every year they start a new season. There's a special meeting they have with all the parents and the coaches. And one of the things they've asked me to do, you know, as the pastor of the church, is I get a chance to come in and talk a little bit about the values of the program. And it's not just talk, because I know the coaches and the program leaders, you know, that they understand this, and they do a great job in terms of implementing these values. It's not all about winning. All about winning. Everybody likes to win, but there are more important things than just winning. I'm not going to be here next Sunday because I'm on vacation, but I'll actually wrap this up the following Sunday. So if you want to hear the rest about what are bad things in sports, and there are some bad things in sports, and there's even some ugly things relating to sports, you need to come back in 2 weeks, okay? Next Sunday, actually, there'll be a special time of extended sharing that is always a wonderful blessing. So please come prepared to maybe share a praise, something that God has done in your life or in the life of the church or in your family that you can share during that sharing time in lieu of the sermon. Okay, that's next Sunday. Okay, let's go ahead and close in prayer. By the way, 2 weeks from today, when I finish this sermon, I'll explain, because I know some, perhaps, I saw a few eyebrows going up a week or so ago when I explained that our Tuesday night men's Bible study was being moved to Mondays for 2 weeks to avoid Game 1 and Game 6 of the World Series. And I know, you know, it's certainly understandable, especially those of you who have little or no interest at all in sports. You might be wondering, why did I adjust a men's Bible study just to avoid conflicting the nights with the World Series? Okay, and I'll actually respond to that in 2 weeks. Okay, let's close in prayer. All right, let's pray. Father God, thanks again for who you are, the great God of the universe, the God who is holy and righteous beyond our full comprehension or appreciation as humans. But Father, what glimpses we've had through your word, through the power of your spirit, just through the lives of other Christians we've seen. Father God, thank you that you're so patient with us. Thank you that you draw us into a relationship with yourself all by your incredible grace and mercy. And Father, thank you for the new life we experience through that faith relationship with Christ. And that new life involves new attitudes, a whole new character, a desire to become more and more like Jesus day by day in every aspect of life, including sports. And so, Father, we thank you for the time of worship, the time in your word, and the time to grow together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We give you all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.